You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hello, everybody. It is Saturday in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. My name is Adam Bittner, assistant sports editor for multimedia at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, joined today by Ray Fittipaldo, our Steelers insider, for our first Steelers mock draft tracker video of the offseason. Ray, the Steelers only lost on Monday, but here we are talking mock drafts already. We like to do this early in the offseason because it kind of sets the tone for where things go from here. Obviously, a ton of moving pieces still, free agency, trades, all of that. We're really just kind of feeling out the Steelers' needs at this point. There's often not a ton of mock drafts between here and the end of the Super Bowl, so sometimes we might skip a video, but this is, you know, where we're going to start our Steelers coverage on the Post-Gazette Sports Now YouTube channel, the draft coverage, and kind of see where things go. So, Ray, are you excited to be already into draft season?
Yeah, I guess in, 9 days from now, I'll be flying to Mobile, Alabama for the first step of the draft process. Mike Tomlin and Omar Khan and Andy White will be joining me in Mobile for the Senior Bowl. So that'll be the first one. My first mock draft will actually be published the week after that, a few days after that. So, yeah, we're ramping up, and Steelers season just ended, but certainly a fun time of the offseason too.
Yeah, can't wait for your mock drafts, Ray, because they're kind of a gold standard. But what we like to do is gather what people from all around the internet nationally are saying and kind of localize it a little bit. So that's what we're going to do. Before we do, just want to thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast, Pella Windows and Doors of Pittsburgh. There's no better place to get new windows and doors installed in your home than Pella, who can help you save on energy costs year-round. Schedule a free in-home consultation with your local Pella Windows and Doors to find the right product for your home and budget. Give them a call at 866-593-1560 to discuss your project further. That's 866-593-1560 to get started planning on your new windows and doors installation with Pella Windows and Doors of Pittsburgh. Ray, let's get right into it. It was Christian D'Andrea of For the Win, that's a USA Today product, who mocked Michael Penix Jr. to the Steelers at, I believe, number 20, number 23. I forget exactly where the number was, but as their first round pick, Michael Penix Jr., the Washington quarterback, took the Huskies to the national championship game. Popular with a lot of people, Ray, and of course the Steelers have quarterback as a need on their board somewhere going into this offseason. I'll start with this. Do you think first round is where we might see the Steelers go after a quarterback, or does that kind of make more sense in subsequent rounds?
100% no. They just used a first round pick on Kenny Pickett at number 22 years ago, and I think it's their desire to see what he looks like with a different offensive coordinator and a different quarterbacks coach and a different offense. So, you're right, Adam, depending on what happens with Mason Rudolph in free agency, there could be a need for two quarterbacks on this roster, because I think we all know that they're going to move on from Mitch Trubisky. So I don't know what the quarterback's room is going to look like come May, but I am certain that they will not be taking one in the first round.
Yeah, that's kind of been my read. And I think Michael Penix is interesting, though, in that regard, right? In that I think he's going to have volatile draft stock. One thing Christian pointed out in his mock selection was there's a lot of red flags with him. Injury history. He played with a lot of really good receivers at Washington that made him, you know, look good. Romo Dunze's number one on that list. Do you look at him as someone, if he's there in the second or third round, if he doesn't tear up these scouting circuits, Ray, that you might bring in as a second or third quarterback who The pressure's not on him to play, right? He's kind of drafted in the same range that Mason Rudolph was, kind of drafted to maybe be a backup. But if Kenny Pickett struggles, maybe he gets a chance. If not this coming season, then the year after. Is he a name that still intrigues you, regardless of the first round? That I think you and I agreed doesn't make a whole lot of sense for him and the Steelers.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I got a chance to watch him in the national championship game, and I was not impressed. And I will admit, you know, because they played in the Pac-12 and their games weren't always, you know, at prime viewing hours, I didn't get to see a lot of him this year. I know they were a very good team. It's a very good roster out there that Washington had. But in my one time when I sat down and watched him, I wasn't all that impressed. So, you know, second or third round, I still probably wouldn't pull the trigger. But I guess in the end, Adam, it would depend on how the Steelers felt about him. If you look at, Andy Weidel's draft history, you know, they got Jalen Hurts at number 50, and Jalen Hurts turned into a great quarterback. So if they have a strong evaluation on a guy and they feel like he's a guy that they could work with, then, yeah, it's a possibility. But just from what I saw in him in the title game, you know, even at round two, I wouldn't pull the trigger. Round three, maybe. I mean, yeah, I could see that. But I don't think the first two rounds.
Are there any other names, Ray, that are on your radar that if they were there for the Steelers, that your ears might perk up? Is Bo Nix on that list out of Oregon? Anyone else that you've seen this season of college football that registers for you?
No, because the good ones are going to be gone well before the Steelers pick. I mean, Bo Nix, it's another thing with Penix. I mean, he's older. You know, Nix is probably, what, 20, is he 24 or 25?
I think he's probably in that range, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's like Kenny Pickett coming out, you know. I just don't know about the upside when some of these guys stick around for college for 5 or 6 years, you know. So, no, I other than the Drake Mays and the Caleb Williams and the Jaden Daniels, I'm not really interested in any of these other guys, excuse me, in subsequent rounds.
Yeah, that's entirely fair, but I think, Ray, everyone wants to talk about the quarterbacks. We've been talking about them for, you know, weeks here. How do other guys possibly fit into that? I don't think that narrative is going to go away, whether you or I agree with it. Let's get into some other positions, Ray. Luke Easterling from Sports Illustrated mocked Amarius Mims from Georgia to the Steelers. I think he's 6'7", 340. He is huge. Obviously went to the same college as Broderick Jones. Do you see the Steelers going back to the offensive tackle well 2 years in a row? You know, with I think he's an intriguing prospect, but the Steelers, I believe someone said it's been 30 years since they drafted a tackle that high. Would they do it in back-to-back years? Do you see that?
Well, here's the thing. I wrote about this today. There's a story published online on Friday, and I know people are viewing this on Saturday, but it'll still be online. They got to figure out what they're doing with Broderick Jones first and foremost. If they keep Broderick Jones on the right side, then Dan Moore will go into the final year of his contract. You'll still need a left tackle or another tackle for the future. But, you know, the need wouldn't be there if Broderick stays on the right side. Now, if you want to switch Broderick Jones to his natural left side position, then you would create a need there because Dan Moore, we've been told, cannot play on the right side. So in that scenario, they could certainly – draft one. You know, the first round, I don't know if they would pull the trigger on that 2 years in a row. They have so many other needs, Adam. Cornerback is a big need with Levi Wallace and Patrick Peterson likely not back. Defensive line is a huge need for them. I think that's probably their number one need right now with Cam Hayward and his injury situation, Larry Ogunjobi's age. I think they could use the resources on the other side of the line now, but I would not discount offensive tackle in the first round totally. I'm just leaning maybe second or third round for that.
Yeah, does that just have to be kind of it's a home run pick, best available player type of situation there where you have enough of a need that you could make it work, but it's not something you're going into the draft saying we need to get a guy where maybe you did last year with Broderick Jones?
Yeah, absolutely. And you have to take a look. This is a very good tackle class. So there is the possibility that you could get a good right tackle in the second round if you wanted to go in that direction. And what also plays into this, it's not a particularly deep draft for defensive tackles or defensive ends. There are a few good ones that you see mocked in some of these early mock drafts, and it's still very early. I think a lot of this stuff is going to change. But, you know, I see maybe three defensive tackles overall mocked in the top 32 picks. So whereas you could see maybe six offensive tackles, you know, in some of these mocks. So my point is you might have to go get your guy at defensive tackle in round one if that's really the direction you want to go, because the pool of prospects is not as deep. You know, you probably can't get a starting caliber player in the second or third round. Or if you do, maybe that guy has to develop and, you know, turn into a starter down the road. So if you want to get that year one starter type of a D lineman, you might have to pull the trigger in round one.
Ray, how do you rank the needs along the offensive line? I know a lot of people are looking at center and what they had with Mason Cole this season, but that's also not a position that teams love to invest a ton of draft capital in, unless you're talking about a Marquise Pouncey, which, you know, in today's day and age, it's rare to find centers that really measure up to that standard. You know, so if you're going into the draft, we don't know what they're going to do in free agency, but just today, how would you say this is what they need most, this is what they need least?
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I would say center, probably number one need, followed closely by offensive tackle. Again, depending on what they do with Broderick Jones. That's a big piece of, you know, how their offseason is going to unfold. Excuse me. And I think guard, you know, after that, you know, they still have James Daniels under contract for one more year, say Amalu for two more years. So that's not an immediate need right now. Just because Mason Cole didn't have a good year, he's going into the last year of his contract, they could actually save $5 million on their salary cap if they release Mason Cole. And what you have to think about, if you're the Steelers, he's counting $6.7 million against the cap if he's on the roster next year. Is a $6.7 million cap hit, does that correlate with his overall play? I mean, that's a decision they have to make there. But, you know, I would lean towards probably drafting a center. You know, obviously not first rounds. First round, they don't usually go round one. Maybe second, you pull the trigger there. And even if you move on from Mason Cole and you don't get one in the first couple of rounds, I think they believe Nate Herbig could fill that role in a pinch if he had to. But I think one way or the other, I think they're going to think hard about moving on from Mason Cole and getting someone new in there next season.
Before we move on to corners, Ray, I wanted to ask you about, you know, how much hinges on Broderick Jones. Do you think they're going to make a decision first and then choose personnel based on the decision they make about what they want to do with him? Or do you think they might go into the offseason and say, let's see what we get, and then we'll make a decision about what we're going to do with Broderick?
Yeah, I mean, I think probably the latter, because, listen, if you get like a guy who's a can't-miss prospect at number 20 who, you know, like Broderick, was a top 20 talent, and you think you could plug him in there at left tackle, you know, let those guys battle it out. You know, you have bookend tackles for the next decade, and that would solve a lot of your offensive line problems. You know, I also wrote about this. You know, Broderick was very good in the run game, but he struggled in pass pro. He gave up four sacks, I think 29 pressures. Dan Moore gave up eight sacks, I think 55 pressure. So that's still something that they have to iron out there, certainly for the long term. So, yeah, I mean, I think if the best player on your board at number 20 is a tackle, I think you take him, and then you just figure out what to do from there with, you know, with Broderick and the new guy.
Ray, Cooper DeJean of Iowa was Dane Brugler's pick in The Athletic. He's a very popular mock drafter. He's very versatile. Cooper DeJean can play inside, can play outside. Given what the Steelers have at that position now, I know you mentioned you don't think Patrick Peterson and Levi Wallace are coming back, but if you get a guy who can play inside, outside, does that maybe allow you to keep a Patrick Peterson on the roster and move him around a little more in terms of versatility?
Oh, he's a $9.7 million cap hit. And when they played him at safety, he wasn't good at tackling in space. And he's too old to play outside corner anymore. So I don't really see any scenario where he's a valuable piece for your secondary coming back at that number. Now, if he wants to come back and play for the veteran minimum, you know, something like that, yeah, maybe you bring him back. He's like your fourth corner, maybe a hybrid safety, something like that. Sure. You know, I think he could still play. He would still be valuable if he was on a very low salary, but they're not going to keep him for a $9.7 million cap hit. But, you know, to your point about Dejon, a versatile cornerback, I mean, that would improve any secondary. You know, the Steelers had that with Cam Sutton. You know, Cam Sutton's not a first-round corner pedigree type of a guy, but they had a guy that could play inside, outside, and even safety when they had him on the roster. And that just gives you flexibility throughout your secondary and how you want to sort of play that, you know, use your chess pieces, so to speak, to borrow a line from Mike Tallman. So, yeah, that's very versatile. I'm sure that's why he's in the first round mocks, top of the first round mocks. That versatility comes in very handy for head coaches and defensive coordinators.
Ray, how do you evaluate, you know, what they should do in terms of free agency with the cornerback position? Because it almost feels like you have to have some kind of veteran. If it's not Patrick Peterson, it doesn't it feel like it has to be someone else? And what are you looking for in that guy, you know, heading into, you know, the options you'd be looking at in the draft?
Yeah, I mean, let's presume they move on from Peterson, and Levi Wallace, too, is making $4 million. You know, he lost his job midseason. He's aging. I don't think you want to bring him back. You know, I think the move for the Steelers is go out and get yourself a guy coming off his first contract. You know, you probably have to pay a lot more for that type of a guy. But I think that's the move to make. You know, getting these aging veterans like you did with Patrick Peterson, I'm not a big fan of that. It worked out well for a little bit of the season, but, you know, eventually those guys are going to peter out, and I think we saw that late in the season with Peterson. So I would probably try to make a little bit of a splash move, spend a lot of resources in free agency on a corner, and then obviously that lessens your need in the draft in the first round for a corner. And it's a deep pool of corners. This is another very good class, rookie class of corners coming out. So you can potentially get that guy in round two like they did with Porter. They could do it in the middle of the second round. Maybe you wait until the third round to get that guy. But I think they need – I agree with you. I think they need to address that in free agency and also in the draft, assuming they move on from Patrick Peterson and Levi Wallace.
If they made that move, Ray, let's say they get the splashy corner, is it – then set up kind of a similar situation with the tackles where, you know, if you love Dejon at number 20 or wherever you're picking, then go get him, but you don't have to?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the way the NFL is played now, you need three really good corners. And if Dejon is a guy that can play inside and you go make a splash move and you get somebody paired with Joey Porter as your two outside guys, then you just stick – Dejon there, and then you have flexibility throughout. Dejon can bump inside, he can bump outside. So, yeah, I definitely think that would be the move. You know, the free agency thing, you know, corners have been very expensive in free agency, and it's got to be the right move for your system. Who was the guy? Was it J.C. Jackson from the Patriots who signed that huge deal with the Chargers, and then the Chargers had to cut him? So, you can make a splash move, but you better make sure that cornerback fits within your system. And I think obviously Omar Khan and Andy White and Mike Tallman are smart enough to know how to do that. But my point is, Brandon Staley and the Chargers spent big on Jackson, and it didn't work out for them. So it's got to be the right fit for your defense too.
Ray, I want to get into linebackers here in a second. Before we do, just want to thank another sponsor, which is Pitt Johnstown. It's a Pitt quality education with up close and personal learning. It's a top-ranked Northeast public college by U.S. News & World Report. Generous scholarships and financial aid are available, located on 655 picturesque acres, easy access to the city center, shopping and dining, and a vibrant campus life with an active D2 athlete community. Check out Pitt Johnstown. Was a little surprised to see Chris Trapasso, Ray, of CBS mock Jeremiah Trotter Jr. to the Steelers in the first round. I think CBS had him as their 37th ranked prospect, so not a really a certified first-round pick. does obviously have the NFL pedigree through his dad, who was a great player for a lot of years with the Eagles. I don't know if he played for anyone else, but he was a great player. Is that a position after how this season has unfolded, Ray, that you look at and say that they need to spend first-round capital there, considering you were able to find a Cole Holcomb, you were able to find Juan Alexander, you were able to find a Landon Roberts, and you were able to put together a unit that was pretty decent until the injury started to take their toll and you end up with Miles Jack, Michael Walker. We know how things ended, but they started from a pretty solid place, didn't they, Ray?
They did, and they were getting turnovers and they were playing very well. So, I think this – the question is – I asked Mike Tomlin this question on Thursday. He really didn't answer it. A lot of this is going to depend on the health of Cole Holcomb. Mike was kind of evasive when I asked if he's going to be back for training camp. All he would say is, yeah, Cole has a target date, but, he'll address that later in the spring. So if Cole Holcomb can come back and he could be a starter day one, you have a Landon Roberts, who's another very capable day one starter. I don't think there's the need to go out there and spend first-round resources on a linebacker, especially when you look around the NFL. Was there one inside linebacker who was drafted in the first round last year, Adam?
I think Detroit picked one, right? Am I wrong?
Yeah, they might have. But my point is those guys are pushed down draft boards. It's such a hard position to evaluate. I think the Steelers, with their moves last year, maybe you just kind of pick off the best inside linebackers off of other teams and address that in free agency. And they might have to do that again. If Holcomb isn't going to be ready, maybe they have to go out and sign another guy. Like the Alexander thing, Adam, they can make that move in August, right? Just like they did this year. And he can come back and be fine. So the issue with him is his injury history. Can you count on him for a full season? He was fine when he was healthy, but you look back at all of his seasons, he's missed multiple games in almost every season. So to me, inside linebacker might be a need, but I don't view it as I wouldn't even say it's a top three need for this football team right now, but I will acknowledge a lot of that does depend on the timetable for Holcomb as well.
Yeah, and I think part of it for me too, Ray, is what you mentioned is how is the NFL evolving, and it just does not seem that the teams want to spend there, right? Whether it's money, whether it's draft capital. Do you think the days of the Steelers kind of looking at who's that next great middle linebacker for this 3-4 defense, do you think those days are maybe over? That you're looking at the top of the, unless he's like clearly the best player on the board,
right,
that you're not going to go into any more drafts looking for a Ryan Shazier or a Devin Bush to kind of continue that history at middle linebacker?
Yeah, not just the Steelers. I think every team. To your point, there was a guy by the name of Drew Sanders out of Arkansas last year, mocked in the first round pretty consistently in the lead up to the draft. And then I don't think he went until late second or third round. His stock just fell. I don't know if it was because of, he had a poor draft process or teams just aren't using their resources on inside linebackers. And there was another one. Was his name Henley from Washington State? Deion Henley, guy who was mocked second or third round. He ended up going, I think, in the third round. So I think you have a good point. I think teams are just trying to piece it together and just trying to find good fits. But the way the NFL is today, you're playing with a lot of hybrid safeties who are in on sub packages. Those guys match up with tight ends. You need inside linebackers for your base defense. But I think a lot of guys around the league, they're kind of getting it done with versatile defensive backs and not so much inside linebackers when it comes to pass coverage.
Yeah, and I think it's questionable. CBS loves to do this with their mock drafts, put the way they rank the player, compared to the pick. And if this is the 37th ranked player, it's definitely not a position you reach for. I feel it's one thing if he's a certified generational type of player. It's another when you're saying this guy's probably a second rounder that the Steelers would be reaching for. I think that's a difficult pick for them to make at this stage. Ray, the other thing that stood out to me in the first batch of mock drafts we've tracked this week is that there was a conspicuous lack of defensive linemen. You mentioned that as a huge need. Do you think a lot of national observers look at Keanu Benton, who got some headlines as a very solid rookie for the Steelers, and the fact that Cam Hayward is theoretically still on the team and still a good player, do you think maybe nationally people look at that and say the Steelers are set there and they don't see it as big of a need as maybe we do locally?
Yeah, I mean, if they do, they're probably not doing the research. And it's not just Hayward. I mean, Ogunjobi, they're paying him like, I don't know, $12 million a year, and he's just not producing like that type of a player. I mean, he's got to be on the roster because they have no other options. But to me, they're just – they're spending good resources at that position, and they're not getting the requisite production that they need. So that's why I think it's a huge need. And I wouldn't discount free agency if the Steelers are addressing that. Identify the top young guy, 25, 26 years old, coming off their first contract, and maybe you make a splash move there. Maybe you don't do it at corner. But they have to improve that room. I mean, the days of, like, piecing together your line with Montrevious Adams and Armon Watts and, you know, the Ogunjobis of the world, I mean, that's not good enough. So that, to me, that's the number one need. You can convince me that maybe they could take a corner or a tackle in the first round. But to me, if there's a guy available first round of that draft, Adam, I think they got to pull the trigger on him as long as he's, you know, matches up with their big board.
What's your early read on the depth of this class, Ray? And is, because we talked about, you know, there's some depth at tackle, for example. Maybe you look at that as a set. Is this just a draft that you're going to need to go after that first because there's not as much depth there?
I mean, it's very early. The season just ended. I'm not really deep into, my draft preparation yet, but it just seems like it's not a deep position. And, you know, like if you wait and you try to get him in the second or third round, it's probably going to be a developmental guy. Maybe that's Adam. Maybe that's okay if Cam Hayward comes back, but there's several dominoes that have to fall there. Does Cam Hayward want to come back on a reduced salary? And is he able to come back and play at the level he was playing at before he was injured? Those are two very big ifs as we get into the off season here. So I guess my point is you addressed it in the second round with Benton last year. To me, your job's not done. You still have to go out and address it again. And we all know how Omar and Andy White want to build this football team. They want to build it through the trenches. And if somebody like me knows the defensive line is very, I don't want to say very weak, but it's one of your weaker positions on the team, you know Andy and Omar are going to attack that in either free agency or the draft. I think it's an obvious need for them.
Yeah, I agree, Ray. Well, that's all I got this week for you, Ray. I think it was the nice initial discussion here. We'll see when we come back. You know, it might be more so after the Super Bowl. But for now, we just wanted to get, you know, kind of initial video out there, talk about some needs. And I think this was a good start, Ray. Thanks for stopping by.
Absolutely, Adam. And let's do it again.
Yes, we will be back next week. Christopher Carter will be back on Monday with the North Shore Drive podcast. Not sure if Ray will be back for that conversation as well, but stay tuned for that. I'll be back on Thursday with Paul Zeiss for our weekly Zeiss is Right video. No more Steelers postgame shows. I usually tease that in the spot, Ray, but they're done. So if you see me on the weekend, it's going to be in these types of situations. If you enjoyed this video, please like it. Help us out in the YouTube algorithm. Please subscribe to the channel so you don't miss any of the videos I talked about, and we will talk to you again real soon.
Thank you for checking out this content from Post-Gazette Sports. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all of the sports coverage the Post-Gazette has to offer, visit post-gazette.com.